live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476. We'll do a little basketball with the NCAA tournament. Matt Jones did a great job for Kentucky Sports Radio. He's going to join us coming up in an hour 20 from now. We will talk about Mark Pope. We will talk about the old head honcho at Kentucky in John Calipari and some more happenings with the NCAA tournament. But I went out to dinner last night, and I went to Westville, which is right across the street from here. And a buddy of mine from college, I didn't know this, for the last year and a half, he was working two blocks away from our studio. So we figured this out, and we said, okay, let's go have dinner when I get off at work, and we'll sit down at Westville, you know, catch up and all that stuff at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So I walk into the restaurant, and as the meal is ongoing, I see Russell Wilson to the Giants, then followed up by Stephon Diggs to the New England Patriots. So I'm sitting there catching up with my buddy, and then I had to start tweeting. I had to start giving the takes and all that, and I had to start processing this. And my buddy's a big sports fan, so, you know, he understood it, right? And he works in sports too. So, you know, I had a good time, good meal, and this crazy NFL news broke. But I started off yesterday's show saying I really don't know how it's going to go with the second and third pick of the NFL draft. And I sit here today on March 26th in the year of 2025, and I think I've given up. I think I'm at a point where my brain is cooked, my brain is fried, and I don't have a damn clue what's going to happen with the second or third overall pick in the draft anymore. Because the first overall selection, which I do think Tennessee is going to keep the pick, and I do think Tennessee is going to take Cam Ward, but even if they elect to trade the pick, I still believe Cam Ward's going to be the number one overall pick. And we just did this yesterday. We went around the room, and the general consensus between the three of us was Cam Ward's going to be number one pick. And then when we got to two, Stu, myself, and Samter, we all gave the answer of either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, and then we all said the Giants will take Shedeur Sanders with the third overall pick. So I started to feel yesterday that Shedeur Sanders was going to be the third overall pick. I even did a sports minute about it, right? And I sat there and I said, Cleveland should take Shedeur. The Giants should take Shedeur. But now I'm sitting here, and I'll say it again. I do think Cleveland and the Giants, who have no long-term plan at their quarterback position, right now the Browns would be starting Kenny Pickett. Right now the Giants would be starting Russell Wilson. You know, newsflash here for you. If you're Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, or you're Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, and you're starting either Kenny Pickett or Russell Wilson this year, don't be surprised at the end of the season if you don't have a job. All right? That's just the truth. You need to create some optimism, some hope, because in all likelihood, your team is not going to win a lot of games this year. So the Giants getting Russell Wilson doesn't move the needle for me. It doesn't make me think, oh, the Giants now are going to win more games to save Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's job. I look at the Giants getting Russell Wilson, and I think this is just added protection. Because last year, the Giants got shut out in getting a quarterback. So this offseason, they tried for Stafford, didn't work. They realized they weren't going to get Aaron Rodgers. So they signed Jameis Winston, and then they said, okay, we can't have Jameis Winston be our starter. We probably still want to draft a quarterback, I would think, with the third overall pick. But now we're signing Russell Wilson, where we now have the luxury of saying, okay, we could take a quarterback if one is there, or if one isn't there, at least we have a vastly improved starter, even though Russ is not great at this stage of his career, and he's an average quarterback now. We will have a better quarterback, and we will get better quarterback play than we've had since Eli Manning, right? Because all the quarterbacks since Eli Manning for the Giants have stunk, have been terrible. So I think what Joe Shane is doing is he knows that he's treading water here. He doesn't have much time left. So he's addressing the present. And at first, when this trade did, or the signing did come on out, I'm like, oh, that means the Giants probably don't take a quarterback. But now I'm looking at it as maybe the Giants heard whispers that Cleveland actually is taking Shedeur Sanders. Or it puts them in a spot if they're uncertain, and maybe these teams don't even know what they're doing right now. I always thought that was a bunch of malarkey. I always thought that was a bunch of hogwash. I always thought that was a bunch of jackassery. When teams would sit here a few weeks from the draft and be like, oh yeah, we don't know what we're doing. But it kind of was proven to be true that sometimes these teams don't know what they're doing. Because I'll never forget when the 49ers traded up for that number 3 overall pick a few years ago. Chris Sims has matching tattoos with Kyle Shanahan. They're as close could be. Sims got on the air and he said, oh, they're making this move. I think Kyle Shanahan's making this move to go get Mac Jones. And then when the Niners eventually picked, they had a change of heart and they ended up going with Trey Lance through more of their due diligence. Like, look at Sean Payton. He said it last year at the Combine. Well, he said this year at the Combine, talking about last year. This time last year, we didn't know we were taking Bo Nix. And then they privately worked out Bo Nix and they fell in love with Bo Nix and he ended up being the 12th overall pick in the draft. So I think what the Giants are doing, and it still may not be successful, is they're covering their you-know-whats in all different ways. They're saying, okay, we'll get Jameis. Maybe there's a chance we still get Aaron. All right, it doesn't look like we're going to get Aaron. Let's not play this game. Russ is ready to sign. Let's sign Russ. So now we have two better quarterbacks already on the roster than whatever they threw out there last year. And Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston aren't great, but at least you have two competent guys in there. And then if the first pick of the draft is Cam Ward, if the second pick of the draft is, let's say, Shedeur Sanders, then okay, the Giants can then have that decision. Do you draft Abdul Carter? Do you draft Travis Hunter? But if the Giants see Cam Ward go one, then let's say the Brownies, here we go, Brownies, here we go. They end up taking Abdul Carter, let's say, two. The Giants then have a decision. Do you go best player available, which on my big board, which is not that big of a board, would be Travis Hunter? Or do you do what can protect you and maybe give you some future hope in bringing in a quarterback in Shedeur Sanders? So I think all this stuff right now is a giant cluster, you know what. I think all this stuff right now is very confusing. And I would say, Giants probably aren't trading up to one, but I wouldn't rule that out either yet. Now, I do think Tennessee has warmed up to the idea in taking Cam Ward. I do think they should take Cam Ward, but it doesn't mean that they necessarily will. Like, if I was in charge of Tennessee, Cleveland, the New York Giants, and the New England Patriots, this is what I would do. Like, if I was the GM for all four, Tennessee, I'm Mike Borgonzi with the Titans. I'm taking Cam Ward. I'm Andrew Berry with the Cleveland Browns. I'm taking Shedeur Sanders. I'm then Joe Shane with the New York Giants. I'm not feeling great because I don't have a chance to now get a quarterback. I am not taking Jackson Dart here. And I then think you take, I would say Abdul Carter is the best player available, but the Giants just paid big money to Burns. You know, this is a make or break year for Kayvon Thibodeau. You got Sexy Dexy on that defensive line, Dexter Lawrence. I would probably say for the Giants, the better fit is Travis Hunter. Where you could play Hunter at defensive back, and then you could throw him on the offensive side of the ball for, what, 15 to 20 plays a game? And you have the speed of Malik Nabers and Travis Hunter, and then a solid running back, which, give credit to Joe Shane for getting him in the draft last year, and Tyrone Tracy Jr. And then the Patriots would be sitting there at four, and then they should gobble up if Abdul Carter's still there. They shouldn't even let a second tick off the clock, and they should run up to that podium and already have Abdul Carter on that card and hand it over to the commissioner. So that's what I think should happen. But in terms of what will happen, I don't have a damn clue. And I'm curious if we'll get it to a spot with how 50-50 this has been, where one week it's up, the Browns are going to take Shedeur. Then the next week up, they're not going to take him, and it's going to be the Giants. Do we start to see Shedeur fall? And I want to be careful when we say the word fall, because I don't think this is going to be an Aaron Rodgers fall, where you go from being potentially the first overall pick and then you go in the 20s. You know, I don't think this is going to be Will Levis when you're supposed to be a top five pick and then you fall to the second round. Or this is not going to be Malik Willis where you're supposed to be a first round pick and then you end up going in round number three. The absolute latest, if I'm going to look at the worst case scenario for Shedeur Sanders that he falls to, is ninth. Because you look at this, Tennessee's not going to take him. Cleveland could. The Giants could. The Las Vegas Raiders could. Quite frankly, I feel as if that's, if I'm really being serious, that's where I should draw the line in the sand. Because I don't think Cleveland and the Giants both should pass on Shador. But just because I say that, it doesn't mean anything. But if they do both pass on him, let's say Cam Ward goes one, Cleveland says, okay, we're taking Abdul Carter two, and then the Giants end up taking Travis Hunter three. Then you look at the Raiders at six, because the Patriots and the Jaguars are right there, so if someone wants to go move up to go get Shador, they could. The Raiders, I think, would be foolish to pass up on Shador Sanders. Like, the Browns and Giants, I think, would be fools to pass up on Shador Sanders at this rate. But the Raiders would really be fools. But even if the Raiders end up being fools, because let's be real, Stu, you know this, incompetent organizations make incompetent decisions, and the Raiders have been fools for a long time. You tell me the Jets at seven then aren't going to pull the trigger on Shador? Or the Saints, worst case scenario, at nine aren't going to draft Shador Sanders? Like, I don't see a road where Shador is going to fall out of the top 10. And really, I don't really see a path that he falls out of the first six picks of the NFL draft. I really don't. But with this Giants move and them signing Russell Wilson, let's do this the next day and answers could change. Because right now, I'm confused. I am. Usually I try to give you the answers. I don't got the answers today. Because in one breath, I look at this Russell Wilson signing as, oh, this is Joe Shane checking all the boxes and doing his due diligence. And then another part of me is, okay, maybe he knows now Cleveland is going to take Shador with the number two overall pick. So I don't think that this eliminates the Giants from taking Shador, but it creates a lot more uncertainty and a lot more clarity that we, or lack of clarity that we thought we had yesterday. So Stu, right now, one, two, and three in the draft, the Tennessee Titans, the with the second overall pick, the Cleveland Browns, and then the New York Giants at three. What do you think one, two, and three will be?
I think
will. Emphasis on will.
I think it'll be Cam Ward number one to the Titans. I think the Browns will go Abdul Carter.
Who?
And I think the Giants will go Shador still.
So you still think they will go for Shador?
Yeah.
All righty. Samter, what's your predictions here on what the first three picks of the draft will be?
Well, I don't want to ruin the potential of what the Browns might be doing at the quarterback position, but I don't.
But you could say it if you want. If you believe this erroneous report about, are you talking Dak Prescott?
Yes.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I'm not necessarily believing it, but we can talk about it more. I think that it makes sense for both teams. So
Santa still puts the cookies out for Christmas.
Yeah, the idea of Abdul Carter and Myles Garrett together in Cleveland is, you just can't pass that up. That's going to dominate offenses for a decade.
So right now you think Cam Ward 1, Abdul Carter 2?
Abdul Carter 2 and Travis Hunter 3. Okay. I don't think Shador is going to the Giants. I think the Giants realize that that outside of Cam Ward, they don't love Shador enough to waste that pick on them. So they're getting the bridges between Russell and they're going to ride with it. They're looking long term. They're saying, we don't want to ride with Shador. We don't want to tag ourselves to that. We're going to have a one-year respite where we're going to add a star like Travis Hunter to a guy like Malik Nabers, and we're going to build that way. And then there's a lot more quarterbacks, it seems like, that might be coming out next year, and maybe we'll hitch our ride with that.
I'm going to be honest. I hate myself right now.
You agree with Samter?
No. I'm not saying that. My brain is just, it's reached a dead end. And we still have to do this for a month. I hate flip-flopping like this so quickly. Like, if you tell me, okay, I give a take, and then 2 weeks later I alter the take, fine. But the take I gave yesterday is not the same take today. And just when I thought I was out, they sucked me back in. I think the Browns are taking Shador Sanders. This has been the most I have vacillated on a take ever. But I think that one is going to be Cam Ward, two is going to be Shador Sanders, and then the Giants will take Travis Hunter at three. And I don't know if that's just me selfishly hoping that's the way that it's going to go, because I really want Abdul Carter. I think this is the most I wanted the Patriots to ever draft a player. Well, I did want Jaden Daniels last year, but I was fine with Drake May. I talked myself into Drake May. And even though Jaden Daniels was incredible this year, I saw enough from Drake May that made me think he could be a good quarterback. But I was one of the first people in on Jaden Daniels. That was the guy that I really wanted. But I don't think I've ever wanted a player more in the draft for the Patriots than Abdul Carter since Vernon Gholston. And that did not work out well. Well, it worked out well for me because we ended up getting Jerod Mayo. We traded back. But Samter's team, which I guess the only thing that flip-flops more than my thoughts on who the Browns are going to take it to is Samter and who he's going to root for in the NFL. But Samter's team at the time, and I guess still today, ended up taking Vernon Gholston, which I believe the fifth or sixth, I think it was the sixth overall pick in the draft. So I'm going to say one, Cam Ward, subject to change, by the way. Two, Shedeur Sanders. Three, Travis Hunter. That's where I'm at right now. But this sets up for a monster, and I mean monster, NFL draft. Because I think this is the most intrigue we have on a draft since when Cleveland took Baker Mayfield with the number one overall pick. Like, I think we know who number one's going to be in Cam Ward. But two, three, like we have an idea of who the players are going to be. Like, right, the first three picks of the draft, Cam Ward's going to be one, and then two out of the next three, or two out of the next guys out of the three selections are going to be either Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, or Shedeur Sanders. But how they're going to go and what order they're going to go, we don't have a damn clue. Stu, by the way, you sound worse today. Just wondering.
Yes, it is not getting better. It is getting worse.
No, I feel much better. I do.
I'm happy for you.
Now, I think we found out, though, who maybe got everybody sick. Maggie wasn't in this morning.
I think she left the show yesterday early as well. That's what I've heard, at least.
Wow, Maggie gets sick a lot. I feel like every time I tune into the show, Maggie's either at home or she's out because she's sick. And I know Maggie's very serious about the job and she's very dedicated, obviously. But also, Maggie has a young child, so, you know.
Yeah.
Young children, they bring home a lot of gook.
I also feel great. It's just...
That little...
It's just my throat is just not...
Little hair great. That's in your throat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Samter, you feeling all right?
I was struggling. I got home last night. I went right into bed.
Really?
I got right into bed. But, like, I was just exhausted and tired. Nah, and I woke up today. I feel a lot better. Still same thing. Scratch in the back of the throat, a little nasally. Not as bad as Stu. But I think the three of us, just something happened.
Yeah. You know, if management is listening right now, this is what I would recommend to management. I would walk in, you know, find someone that's around here, right? And there has to be like some competent body and say, hey, Stu, take the rest of the day off. That's what I would do. I feel like you need like a nice like long nap.
Well, I'm already off tomorrow and Friday, so that's not necessary.
Oh, well, are you going to Yankees, opening day tomorrow?
Yes.
Stu's going to feel miraculously 1,000% better tomorrow.
I think you also overestimate the talent that's back there, that they can walk around just like, oh, hey, you know, just fill in for Stu. No.
Not a good locker room leader. That bus just rolled over people.
You know what? That's not my locker room. This is my locker room. Stu's my locker room. That's my quarterback. That's my guy. That's my quarterback.
I think you're like the Stephon Diggs of the locker room. Talking about Stephon Diggs, he's going to my Patriots. I'll give you my reaction next. Also, what does this mean for Brandon Ayuk as well? If you want to jump on in the NFL draft and what the Giants' decision to bring in Russell Wilson means, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. All right, at 24 past the hour, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We opened up the program talking about Russell Wilson getting $21 million to go to the New York Football Giants. I wonder what Russ is going to say whenever he gets introduced to the media. Is it like, let's go G-Men? Or is it go Big Blue? Or does he get up there and he goes, start spreading the news? Like, what the heck is Russell Wilson going to say? Because we had Broncos country, let's ride. For the Steelers, it was, I think he did the here we go. I think that's what it was. But we'll see what happens when Russell Wilson does come to town with Sierra. By the way, there is a good CBS Sports Radio, now Infinity Sports Network story. Are you familiar with this Fakakta story that Sean Marash told for many years on the network about him and Sierra?
No, I don't think so.
He was once at a Super Bowl party where Sierra was there. And Marash claims that they had a conversation and she was like laughing at his material and his jokes. And he thought there was a little bit of a spark. So Marash is told this. and this was the headline in Awful Announcing. WFAN producer, because he told, you know, whatever shtick he did here, he ended up doing down the hall there. WFAN producer Sean Marash detailed his alleged near romance with Sierra at a party. Let me tell you, I still like when we get mentioned in the newspaper and I get the hard copy of the newspaper and I have some articles that are important to me that I frame. And like I have like a little display that I have in my apartment where I will have those articles on display. If I'm Marash, this has to be displayed. Even though he's married with a wife and two kids and has a wonderful family, like this has to be displayed in your home. When the headline is WFAN producer Sean Marash detailed his alleged near romance with Sierra at a party. Quote, "I believe if we both weren't married, she would have considered going home with me." And close quotes. What are we doing here? Seriously. So I guess they were at a Super Bowl party together. Marash thought there was a spark. And then Sierra probably felt like she was just like helping out like a Make-A-Wish kid. And then the next thing you know, Marash thought that he was going to get lucky here. What the heck did you just bring in? So Santer wasn't here for the first 2 to 3 minutes of the segment. And I'm like, where the heck is he? You came in. What is this package that you have? No. In front of you. What is that? Well, you got to turn the microphone on. But what is that? Is that like a bouquet of flowers or Italian baguette?
It's a bouquet of flowers. It's National Women's Day.
Oh.
So they have flowers.
Oh, do they really?
And you can make your own bouquet. Oh. So I made a bouquet for my lovely wife. And then they also have a chocolate fountain.
Oh.
With Rice Krispie treats, Oreos, pretzels, apples. They got banana and...
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Can you walk in just with the flowers and the plate? I just want to see something. Because I could barely see from where you are because there's so much crap that's just sitting in front of there. And by the way, is it me or this studio very bright today? The lighting in this studio looks very bright. Oh, look at this. Can I take one of these?
Take?
One of these? What is this a banana?
That's an apple.
Oh, that's an apple? Hold on. Let me just hold the plate because this is going to get messy.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. Hold. Oh, they got a graham cracker. Oh, my God. See, we're all saying we're sick, and now.
That's exactly whose flowers are for you.
Oh, hold on. Oh, thank you. That's very nice of you. Let's see.
That's not true.
That's delicious.
Right?
One bite, by the way. Let me see those flowers, by the way.
Yeah, man.
Hold on.
Don't get chocolate on them.
Oh, that's a nice flower. Those are nice flowers.
Yeah, they got some roses.
They still got flowers out there?
Oh, yeah. We got to get there quick.
Okay.
During the next break, get out there.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now I sound like Elvis. So maybe Marash is in the hallway right now getting a bouquet of flowers, not for his wife, but for Sierra. Now, when FAN goes to training camp this year, and by the way, I think they should send this to training camp too. I think whenever FAN goes to training camp, we should go to training camp too for the Giants at least. They got to get Russell Wilson on, right? And if Marash is going to say these erroneous things, doesn't he have to tell Russ, hey, I thought I had once had a spark with your girlfriend. Now, there was also a story, or now it's not wife. There's also a story where Marash, I guess he lost a bet. And he had to, like, cover his body in bird seeds. And he had to sit in a park and basically, like, pigeons. Which, by the way, is that not the most mortifying thing ever? Go to New York City, covered in bird seeds, and have to get pecked basically by a bunch of rats that are birds and pigeons. So that's basically what Mraz once did, but it was something Aaron Rodgers related. I forget what it was, and he told Aaron Rodgers about this, and Aaron Rodgers was like, all right, great story, buddy. Maybe you should go tell that at a party one time. And Rodgers wanted no part about it. So I'm waiting for the Sierra Marash Russell Wilson kind of trifecta meeting maybe at Giants training camp this upcoming year. Anyway, so we have Russell Wilson going to the Giants, then Stephon Diggs goes to the Patriots. I'm curious about your guys' thoughts on this, because it gets reported as a 3-year contract worth $69 million, right? More money than I thought Stephon Diggs was going to get, but then I find out it's only $26 million guaranteed. Stu, good move or a questionable move by the New England Patriots?
Good move. I think they could have gone one of these better receivers in the market, but they didn't, so I think he's a very nice fallback option.
Samter, good move or bad move?
I agree. It's the same thing. Good fallback, but it just shows they struck out on so many other guys like DK and obviously, you know, T. Higgins stayed. Mm-hmm. But there were options out there that they could have gotten that would have been not coming off an injury, that may have had a little bit better production, not on the tail end of their career. And for a young quarterback like Drake May, having a guy like Stephon Diggs who can be a malcontent and can cause drama in the locker room, I think it's an okay move considering it was their only other option, but it worries me that maybe he can, you know, impact Drake May in a negative way.
So I understand what you're saying, but everywhere Stephon Diggs has gone, it's a good start. It's just a bad ending. Like, you look at what he did in Minnesota, impressive. Then you look at what happened really in Buffalo. Josh Allen was up and down, right? There were questions about what Josh Allen could be. Stephon Diggs goes to Buffalo. Josh Allen turns into a star. And I think Josh Allen benefited from Stephon Diggs. Also, Stephon Diggs benefited from Josh Allen because I thought I viewed Stephon Diggs when he's coming over from Minnesota as a very good wide receiver. Right? Had some good seasons. But then we viewed him as a great, maybe top five, top seven, top eight wide receiver in the NFL. So I like this move because even though he's coming off a torn ACL, he instantly becomes the best pass catcher on the New England Patriots. You give your young quarterback a piece to work with. The job can't be done yet, but also at his age, I think he's, what, 31? Or he may be 32, Stephon Diggs. But at his age, you know, you do wonder what's going to happen coming off the ACL. He's 31, he'll turn 32 in November, at the end of November. So he's 31 entering the season. Can he bounce back and still be a 1,000-plus yard wide receiver? Yeah, absolutely. But how much rust is there going to be to knock off, and how easily we'll be able to knock off that rust? You know, personally, I'm with Samter and Stu. I'd rather have DK Metcalf on this team. I would have loved T. Higgins, but if this is the third option, I'm okay with this being the third option. And I think it will be more good than bad for the Patriots. Now, with that being said, I do kind of feel that this takes the Patriots out of the running for Brandon Ayuk. Where Brandon Ayuk wanted to, or the Patriots wanted Brandon Ayuk last year, Brandon Ayuk didn't want the Patriots, then Brandon Ayuk gets hurt, and now the Niners are kind of getting cold feet on a deal that maybe they didn't want to give him last year, but they ended up having to give him. So I look at Brandon Ayuk, and this is something that hasn't been talked about a lot. We are zeroing in on April 1st. We are 6 days away from April 1st. Now, you may say, Zach, what's the big deal with April 1st? April Fool's Day, right? No, well, no, it is April Fool's Day. But Brandon Ayuk's 2025 option bonus of $22.85 million, which is fully guaranteed, is due on April 1st. So if the Niners are going to keep Brandon Ayuk, then, right, this deadline will come and go, and so be it. But if they're going to trade him, they got to trade him before April 1st. And I would be surprised, as the Patriots were that team that was kind of like left out of the dance for a wide receiver, if after giving this deal to Diggs, then from now until April 1st, they end up trading for Brandon Ayuk.
Now, the one other thing that I saw earlier was Scott Zolak, our friend, color analyst for the Patriots.
Unicorn, show ponies, where's the beef?
It's one of the greatest calls of all time.
Kembrell Tompkins, touchdown, back left end zone.
One of the things that he had mentioned earlier in the day is that the Patriots are also in the market for Tyler Lockett. And
ooh,
if you can pull in Tyler Lockett and Stephon Diggs, that might change the outlook overall.
Put it this way. It's a fine receiving core. It's not a great wide receiver core, but it weathers the storm early on, and it doesn't keep you from getting, in my opinion, anyone of big significance. Like, Ayuk is not, to me, big significance. He's a nice player, good player. I might be excited if they got him. I'd be more excited if they got him, though, last year when I wanted him. Now, coming off an injury, and, you know, I'm saying Stephon Diggs coming off an injury and he's a lot older. But I don't think the way that people viewed Brandon Ayuk last year is the same this year. And also, the Niners need to keep him. You got rid of Deebo Samuel. The Niners need to keep Brandon Ayuk, in my opinion, with the uncertainty surrounding that team. But if they could get Tyler Lockett, and your receiving core is Tyler Lockett, Stephon Diggs, remember they signed Mac Collins, who doesn't wear any shoes. And, you know, if Kendrick Bourne could bounce back, and you also have, you know, DeMario Pop Douglas, who's solid. You know, we'll see what happens with Kayshon Booty. Already they have improved this receiving core. It's still not like I'm not blown away by this receiving core. You're not winning a Super Bowl with this receiving core, but you're giving Drake May a chance to succeed. Now, the Patriots got to patch up this offensive line because this offensive line still stinks. So I'm in on the Diggs move. And also, if let's say this is the end of the road for his career and, right, he's never able to recover from this ACL and he's still rusty, it's only $26 million guaranteed. So basically, the only one that would be freaking out about that number is probably Gary Myers. But yeah, it's basically like a two-year deal if you think about it. Even though it's a three-year deal worth $69 million, but when it's $26 million guaranteed, you could probably get out of it after 2 years with the guaranteed only being $26 million. All right, we'll take a break. Matt Jones is going to join us. I said Matt Jones there for a second. Matt Jones is going to join us from Kentucky Sports Radio coming up at 4:20 p.m. Eastern, 1:20 p.m. Pacific today. But when we come on back, we have a loaded news brief for you. So let's get to the latest update. Here's Zach.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, it's time to ask the pros. You, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INSportsCenter, at Zach Gelb, using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show, we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's go to Daniel Jeremiah on the Pat McAfee Show. Maybe a surprise pick coming for the Patriots at number four.
If you don't get Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, I would add a little line to the end of best available. I would say best available player that can help your quarterback. So I would be looking on the offensive side of the ball. And Ashton Jeanty, I have him as, the number three player in the draft. So Wow. If you're just going pure best available player, it'd be Jeanty. And if you're obviously looking on the offensive side of the ball, he would be the guy there from the offensive side of the ball standpoint. Yeah. So I just feel like that's got to help. Unless you can get Abdul Carter, Abdul Carter gets there, I get it. But, man, if you draft Travis Hunter, you play him at receiver. He helps Drake May. This first pick after a defensive-heavy free agency, it just feels like, man, this has got to be a pick that's going to help Drake May.
I've only considered three players for the Patriots. Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Will Campbell. It's only three I thought of. If you tell me they draft Ashton Jeanty, that would be a really Zach Gelb pick. And it would be Vrabel-like, right? Because Vrabel had a success with Derrick Henry. Now, they do have Ramondre Stevenson there, but that's not as elite of a back as an Ashton Jeanty. I just think with all the holes that they have, it's early. It's early for the Pats at four to go with Ashton Jeanty. Here is Mike Vrabel. Don't at me with Dan Dakich. Dakich? Dakich. Yeah, I don't know why I call him Dakich. Dakich on Drake May.
Well, I see a young, athletic, talented, full of potential player that excited to build this team around, and a large part of the reason, why I wanted to be here. That talent level, to be able to build around him and to be able to grow and help him and lead and run an offense and run a football team is something that I'm excited about. He can throw from in the pocket. He can throw off platform. He can run. He can scramble. You can design some things for him. So I think you have pretty much everything in the playbook that you could possibly want available. It's not just a pocket passer. It's not just a guy that's gonna run. So there's a lot of different ways that we're hoping that he can be successful.
We will go from one young quarterback in the draft last year to the next. Now let's listen up to J.J. McCarthy. Was on with Up and Adams with Kay Adams. And let's hear how J.J. McCarthy's knee is feeling.
The knee must be doing pretty well, huh?
Fantastic. Yes. Yes.
Tell
Fantastic.
Me more.
I would say I'm 100%, but, thank you. Cheers to that. But, just staying consistent with the rehab process and not wavering from that and just staying disciplined with all the outside stuff and making sure, I'm not chopping too much wood and doing all that fun stuff. So, yeah.
He's going to be the starting quarterback. This idea, he wasn't going to be ready for training camp and, he may not be ready for the start of the season and, they're going to sign Aaron Rodgers. Please give me a break. Let's go to Jordan Schultz, NFL on Fox podcast. He says, and remember, he had the T. Higgins, Jamar Chase scoop before anybody else with the contracts. Jordan Schultz says the Bengals will not be trading Trey Hendrickson.
My understanding of the Trey Hendrickson situation, Dave, is that the organization and ownership are fully prepared to move forward and attempt to negotiate a deal with him. I don't believe they want to trade him at all. And I actually would say, after talking to multiple people involved, that they have now reached the conclusion that a trade is really off the table. So that's great news for Bengals fans.
Yes or no, around the room, Trey Hendrickson will be on the field week one for the Cincinnati Bengals. Stu?
I think he might hold out.
Okay.
Week one, he'll be there.
On the field?
on the field.
Okay. I agree. I think that they will find the way to get this thing rectified. It's going to get messy like it got messy last year, and they'll find the way to get the deal done. All righty, let's go to LeBron James. He was on the Pat McAfee show. And LeBron James had an hour, 15-minute interview with Pat. This is LeBron James on the Stephen A. Smith feud.
He's like on a Taylor Swift tour run right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're watching it. Yep. We're awesome. Mm-hmm.
It started off with, I didn't want to address it. I wasn't going to address it. But since the video came out, I feel the need to address it.
Yeah, it went viral. You wouldn't be talking about it.
Are you kidding me? If there's one person that couldn't wait to the video to drop so you could address it, it's your ass. Like, seriously. He completely, missed the whole point. The whole point. Never would I ever not allow people to talk about the sport, criticize players about what they do on the court. That is your job.
But
when you take it and you get personal with it, it's my job to not only protect my damn household, but protect the players. You know, and I think a lot of the media, including him, and I know he's gonna be happy as hell. He's gonna be smiling from ear to ear when he hears me talking about him again. Oh my God, he's gonna get home and grab some ice cream out of the freezer and sit in his chair and his tidy whiteies on the couch.
I hope at some point you two get a chance. Yeah,
relax, like seriously.
I would have asked two things. What was so personal about what Stephen A. Smith said? And the other thing, why did you confront him during a game? That's what I would have asked. I thought LeBron was giving you a winning answer the first 30 seconds. And good move by him, right? Because the two big guys at ESPN are Stephen A. Smith and Pat McAfee. Right, you do, that's a petty spot, LeBron going on with Pat McAfee, let's be real. But I think towards the end, the last 30 seconds, LeBron kind of lost me. So I would say that's not a win or a loss for LeBron there. Just a split decision. Now, let's hear LeBron James. Remember, same guy that talked about with Anthony Edwards 2 weeks ago. I understand why he doesn't want to be the face of the NBA because a lot of weird energy that media and former players do provide when talking about the sport. Here is LeBron James saying the current NBA players would dominate the 70s of the Pat McAfee show.
You trying to tell me Giannis wouldn't be able to play an NBA game in the 70s?
He wouldn't be able to do it.
Neither would you.
Giannis Antetokounmpo would have 250 points in a game in the 70s. 250.
Is that Cousy? When was Cousy playing? Cousy's locking up fucking Giannis.
He's saying 70s, not 50.
And that's no disrespect. It's no disrespect. But, seriously, Kyrie Irving.
They would have called him a witch. They would have called him a witch.
No. They would have told Kyrie, you're not. You know how they used to tell Luau Cinder at the time that he couldn't dunk in high school games? Yeah. They would have told Kyrie, you're not allowed to dribble anymore. Mm-hmm. That's what they would have told him. Dribbling is outruled.
So I think that's weird energy from LeBron. 250? Do I think that Giannis could play in the 70s? Yeah, duh. Do I think LeBron could play in the 70s? Yeah, duh. But you're doing the same thing that you're criticizing the old guard for doing with the NBA now, just in the reverse way. You're basically crapping on their product. So I thought LeBron came off insufferable here. Here was the one that pissed me off the most, if I'm just being honest. Brian Windhorst has carried the water for LeBron James for years. For years he carried his water. This is LeBron James taking an unnecessary shot at Brian Windhorst. Listen up.
I see a lot of shit too. I seen Brian Windhorst on one of these shows not too long ago.
Wendy, you guys played together in high school.
Says he's my best friend. These guys are just weird.
Brian Windhorst ever said that? You know, I wonder what show LeBron was watching. Maybe it was the same book that he once claimed that he was reading that never actually happened. What are we doing here? That was ridiculous. That was unnecessary. And there was no reason for LeBron to take a shot at Brian Windhorst when everyone thinks that Windhorst just carries your water for all those years. But I don't think Brian Windhorst has ever claimed, at least to my knowledge, that he's LeBron's best friend. Ugh. I was really going to sit down and watch this entire thing later. After just hearing three clips, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. I'm good. Nick Wright, interesting options for Kevin Durant's next team. This on First Things First.
Two totally unrelated people, both of whom have reputations for knowing things that other people don't know, have said to me, watch out for Durant in Boston.
Ooh.
I don't know even the pieces that it would work. And it feels a lot like what Durant got killed for with Golden State before, so it doesn't make sense.
Be awesome.
But I've heard
that
twice
assumption
now.
Is that they don't win the championship.
What would they be giving up to get Kevin Durant? Like, at this stage of their career, obviously you're not giving up Tatum. I'm not giving up Jaylen Brown. So it's like, what else are you giving up to go get Kevin Durant and make the salaries match too? But if KD goes to Boston, that's very Golden State-like. It's not as Golden State as Golden State was, but that's very, you're not bus driver. You're still more of the bus rider, in the words of our pal Charles Barkley. Here's Rick Wells, Mavs CEO, and the Luka Doncic trade. This on the Mavericks Radio Network.
Time, wins and losses will tell whether the deal was a good deal or a bad deal. I just am going to promise to our fans right now, we're going to, whatever trust we have lost or whatever concerns they have, we're going to earn it back because we're going to do this the right way and we're going to win championships.
Yeah, good luck with that. Alexander Ovechkin closing in on Wayne Gretzky's record. Here was goal 889 last night. John Walton, Capitals Radio Network.
Back near wall. Tie up in a hash mark. Protas weak side. Ovechkin, he scores! Alex Ovechkin scores from the left dot! This game is tied! And Ovechkin picks one up here in Winnipeg. It's goal 889. He needs 5 to tie. He needs 6 to break Wayne Gretzky's all-time record. An electrifying moment here in downtown Winnipeg. Ovechkin draws one closer.
So he has 11 games left in the season. I wonder if he's going to tie or break the record. You would think he would at least tie it. If I'm the NHL, I don't think it's the worst thing with how great they've been this year if we wait until next year for him to break it. You know, could you maybe tie it this year, break it next year? If I'm Gary Bettman, I'm kind of saying I hope you're one away from tying at the end of the regular season so we could carry this story and people could care about hockey early on next season. That would just be me. But incredible that he's going to be about to break the record because that was a record that a lot of us thought would never be broken. We'll take a timeout. We're coming on back. Could Dak be on the move? We'll discuss next.